With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the SC Report podcast. After a week off with the bye, Josh and myself are back this week. And mate, my annual four-year dalliance with soccer is over and I'm ready to get back into some NRL.
Yeah, pretty depressing, isn't it? But just came and gone, the Socceroos are out. But still, you know, a pretty good couple of weeks ahead if you can, stay into it.
Yeah, I'll probably watch a few of the games, I think, you know, once it gets to the quarterfinals and such. But yeah, unfortunately, a short campaign there for the Socceroos. But like I said, it was good to have a weekend off the NRL, I think, wasn't it? A bit of a break and reset our Supercoach sights for the last couple of months of the year.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I was keeping my eyes out for the Kiwi side at the World Cup, but I couldn't see them. So were they there or just too shit?
Yeah, we actually played Peru in qualifying and lost by one.
Oh, yeah.
And we lost by one goal.
Oh, but where were you in the in the final tournament, mate? You didn't quite make
it
there.
We lost 1-0, I think it was. So.
Oh, that's good. That's cute.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Didn't quite make it, alas, but that's fine. We're all looking forward to the Rugby World Cup next year. That's all that matters.
Yeah, it's pretty much the only thing you've got going for you, really. So.
Pretty much, mate. Pretty much. How did you go in round 15, Supercoach-wise?
Geez, that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
I know, it was, wasn't it?
So I scored over 1,000, but then somehow fell back about 400 spots. So I'm 1,300 at the moment. What about you?
Yeah, I scored just over 1,000 as well, 1,037. Obviously, was a slightly higher scoring round than normal. I lost all of my league games bar one, and I dropped 200 places down to 694. So hanging on, looking forward to hopefully a big week this week, and then maybe we can jump up a few more spots in the bye next week again.
Yep, definitely, definitely. And there's heaps to talk through this week, but I think you and I have been pretty busy with work and a few things, so... But we'll just try it. We'll do what we can, mate. We'll get through it.
That's right. That's right. We'll do our best. We might actually spend a little bit longer than normal on the teams and the injury news, I think, this week, because there's been quite a few changes, obviously, with all of the internationals. It's a little bit unknown who's going to back up and who's not.
Yeah, sure.
But we'll do what we can, like you said. So tomorrow night, we got the Dragons up against the Eels. Should be a good game there out at Wynn Stadium. Everyone's been named for the Dragons except for Tyson Frizzell. Again, great that it's the first game of the round. We're going to know who's playing and who's not. Obviously, Widdop is the one who we're all interested in there in particular. And Mitchell Moses returns for the Eels. And Manu Ma'u's got a broken cheekbone, so he's going to be out for about 6 to 8 weeks or so. So this particular game, the interest is in Widdop, really, isn't it? Does he back up or not?
Yep, definitely. I mean, my mail was that...
Oh, you've got mail now. Look out.
I do, mate. I do. And my mail was that they weren't going to back up. None of the Dragons players were going to play, but all the reports as of today suggest they will. So that's very different and I guess quite surprising. But if that's the case, Widdop, you know, seems to be a pretty solid selection. And hopefully if you've got enough cash, then you can bring in the likes of a Munster or a Cleary still for the run home.
Yeah. Yep, definitely. And I think there's some good VC options there from the Dragons this week. Now, Warriors and Sharks is the early game Friday. And again, quite a few changes here. After saying that none of the Kiwi internationals would be playing this week, Stephen Kearney's named them on an extended bench. So still a chance, but outside of the 17, that's Petahiku is the main one of interest there. Fusatu is back into the side. Mannering starts at lock. And obviously SJ, Tohu and RTS did not play in the Denver test, so they will all play this week. for the Sharks, mate, Woodsy's gone over to the Sharks, and that just spells doom and gloom for Fifita, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's unbelievable how that can happen, really. And, you know, considering that he was the big-name recruit for the Dogs along with Foran, that just hasn't worked out well at all. And, yeah, it comes straight into the starting side for the Sharks. So they look pretty strong for the run home.
Yeah, yes, definitely, definitely. Except their two back rowers, Lewis and Graham, are injured, so Capewell and Sorensen will come in there. But again, I would be checking the late mail on that Warriors team there on Friday night just to confirm the final makeup of that side. Roosters versus Storm, which is at Adelaide Oval, the late game Friday. Boyd Cordner will miss due to concussion. Mitch Orbison's into the centres. And Madison is out again. Everyone else has been named for both sides, both the Roosters and the Storm. Billy Slater, I think, is in some doubt. And Stimson is back to the bench. Madison, not named again. Very frustrating.
Cut him, mate. I told you that a few weeks ago. You could... The signs are on the wall, and even if he does come back, I think that you know, he might not play 80 minutes straight away in round 18. However, a few things floating around that he's apparently past the concussion, and it's just a risk concern at the moment. So maybe, you know, he does step straight into the big minutes, but yeah, I think you need to cut your losses there.
I'm actually thinking of trading him out to Ferguson.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, we'll talk about that a little bit later on in detail, but I just can't at Ferguson's, you know, current price. I think that's just too high.
Yeah, it's a risky play. Panthers versus Manly on Saturday afternoon. Campbell Gillard's got that broken jaw. Kikau is back, which is great news, slotting back into the back row with CHN out. And for Manly, Dylan Walker's back in. Uarte's done for the year. Martin Taupau's been named. I think he's back in the country now. Has to be potentially in some doubt. Luckily, Manly is playing in Sydney, albeit out at Penrith on Saturday.
Mate, that was so funny. I don't know if you followed that on Twitter, but that was hilarious. It was just losing it. Could you imagine being the air hostess or the check-in attendant and having to tell Big Mark Taupau that his flight was being delayed again and again and again. Certainly would not be keen to be on the other side of that.
No, definitely not. You know, you got a 55, 60 kilo flight, you know, flight attendant or desk attendant trying to deal with big 120 kilo Martin Taupau would not have been fun. But he's back in the country, and let's hope that he plays this week.
The question that I've got around that is, why the hell was he the last player left? What was he doing?
Exactly. That's what Sanger was saying on his podcast. Like, Fenua Blake made it back. You know, how the hell does Fenua Blake get a seat on a flight ahead of Taupau?
Yeah, incredible. But I would have thought they would have all flown back as a team.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't know what happened. Maybe old Marty was asleep or something. But yeah, let's hope that he and the Trbojevic's play this week.
Richard Vegas, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, could be. Isn't some illegal substances legal in Denver as well?
Potentially, but we don't normally go there on this podcast.
No, we don't. Knights and the Bulldogs on Saturday afternoon. Fitzgibbon's out suspended for a couple of weeks. And for the Dogs, big changes. Umbai's gone to the Tigers, so Hopper's back at fullback and Holland's into the side in centres. They've got some rookie halves in with four and out for the season and Matt Frawley dropped. Fitala Mariner's got a broken hand, which is great news for Reece Martin, who's back into the side, and bloody John Olive has been dropped. So good news there with Martin, but bad news with Fitala Mariner and Olive.
Yeah, shocking. Hopefully Olive gets a call up next week. But, I mean, if anything, that potentially just means he's not going to be an AE nightmare for the run home too.
Yeah, and it's probably only 40 points or so in round 17. I think big go for Ponga as captain this week.
Yeah, don't mind it at all. I'll be considering, depending if I bring in Hopewadi, maybe that's a sneaky captain choice against the Knights as well, who have been leaking a crap load of points to fullbacks all year.
Yeah, could be. Risky, but could pay off.
Mm.
Broncos and Raiders Saturday night out at Suncorp. TPJ's back into the starting side on an edge, which is excellent news. And Hodgson will start at hooker again for the Raiders there. Hopefully everyone backs up for this game. You'd think so, potentially. Hey, been a Saturday night game.
Yeah, you'd reckon. You don't really know what's going to happen with the Broncos lineup each and every week. So TPJ is really just a kind of a last-minute call for reserves. And as the teams, I guess, are getting quite full and I know this week I'm kind of struggling to pick my four reserves, and it's pretty strong with lots of players there that, you know, that he might be one of the ones that gets left out.
Yeah, yep, for sure. He's on the fringes of our 17s at the moment.
Which is a shame because he should be one of the first players picked, but you just don't know how many minutes he's going to get and what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Tigers and Titans is the early game on Sunday out at Leichhardt. Robbie Farah sensationally is back at the Tigers and starting. Umbai's into fullback and obviously Fanua with that broken arm, unfortunately ruling him out for about 6 weeks or so. So he's out of the side. Not a lot doing for the Titans. Jai Arrow being named to back up. If I told you before the year that Robbie Farah would be back at the Tigers this year, what would you have said?
Bullshit, mate. And yeah. And particularly that his first game is straight back to Leichhardt as well. It's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think betting-wise, big go for the Tigers this week?
Yeah, well, they're playing the Titans, so I reckon they got a fair chance.
Yeah, should get up. And the last game of the round is up in Cairns on Sunday afternoon, South Sydney and North Queensland. For South Sydney, if everyone's been named and hopefully they all back up. And for North Queensland, Michael Morgan's obviously done for the year. So Lachlan Coote is into that side. That shores up Tamari Martin's job security there. And Sam Hoare, ACL done for the year. JT will not be happy about that.
No, not happy at all. And I think he's fallen out of the top 100 now too. So he needs some luck to go his way, old JT.
Yeah, and Wilfred's not far behind him, is he?
He's sniffing, but unfortunately the catfish can't win the money this year.
No, he can't. That'd be funny if he did end up winning and he had to give it to second. Did you actually know that the guy who won AFL Dream Team last year is coming 14th overall this year?
I did. I saw that. So that's fantastic. Yeah. And I guess and there's a lot more people to play that game as well. So that's huge.
Yeah, that's massive. All right, mate, that's the teams. Like we said, heaps happening. There's going to be plenty of late mail coming through with Wacko and the usual suspects over the next couple of days. So make sure that you check all of that and make sure that you plan your trades out and make them as late as possible to make sure that you can take advantage of any of that late mail that may come through.
Yeah, I think that's key, mate. Just while we're on that, with the five trades, you're really going to have to map them out because you might need some cash for a certain trade for a player that's playing on the last game, or you know how it works. And there's just so many trades to use, so you've got to really kind of be careful and when you pull the trigger on each of the trades that it doesn't, you know, catch you out somewhere. So it's going to be quite a challenging week. I know I use the app Flash Score and setting the game, or you highlight the game so you get a 15-minute reminder before it starts, and that's fantastic because you're pretty much locked in there not to miss a kickoff.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good idea. Everyone's got to make sure they check out Wacko's Twitter throughout the weekend as well to confirm the late changes.
Yep.
All right, let's take a quick word from our sponsor and we'll be back in a second and we'll be talking trades.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's go.
All right, let's do it. Like we said, heaps of changes this week. Just to confirm, the teams playing in round 17, Broncos, Bulldogs, Dragons, Panthers, Raiders, Storm, Titans, and Warriors. So probably less keepers playing around 13 than there were, sorry, round 17 than there were in round 13, but still a few decent options there. What do you want to start with, mate? Do you want to start with the sells or the buys?
Mate, to be honest, I think the sells are really straightforward. So potentially there's only one that I want to talk to there, and that's probably Andrew Fifita, who is rounding out the top 10 sales of the week. The rest that I'm looking at on the paper in front of me right now, Viliame Kikau is an interesting one too, but Andrew Fifita. So he's played, you know, reduced minutes over the past couple of weeks, and obviously now with Woods coming into the side, plus they've got Gallen, then, you know, his minutes could, you know, be at risk. So I'm a bit torn on this. I can see the logic for trading him out, but I can also see that, you know, there's a lot of age in that Bulldogs pack, sorry, in the Sharks pack. And even this week you're seeing a few guys out injured, and I still think that Fifita is the number one dog in that pack, and I can still see him getting 55 or so minutes a week.
I agree 100%. I've heard plenty of people selling him. I'm not going to sell him. I'm going to hold him and try and improve the rest of my team. Like you say, I think that he'll still get minutes, and even if he gets maybe, you know, 5 or 10 minutes less, I think that he can still potentially have a bit of an impact. I know he hasn't done it in the last sort of 3 weeks or so. His average has only been about 53 with the reduced minutes, but I feel like he's still one of those top options in the front row. And going to someone like a Tarpane or a Ryan James or someone like that, just to me, look, I know it's probably going to get you an extra number in 17, which would be the main reason for doing it, but it feels a little bit sideways, a little bit unnecessary. Most of us are probably getting down to, you know, after this week, less than 10 trades left. And I feel like Fifita is still going to be one of the top at least 4 or 5 front rowers over the rest of the year. And for that reason, I'm going to stick with him.
Yeah, I do agree. He's just too good not to be still that main man. And you know what's going to happen with Gallen? He could get injured any week. Woods has been, you know, pretty horrible this year. And I don't just think that the sudden inclusion of him is going to mean that Fifita minutes will go down. However, in reality, you do have Woods, Fifita, and Matt Pryor sharing that front row rotation. So, it is very risky, and I can see the attraction with him being it's over 600K, and I definitely have flirted with the idea this year, and particularly that trade to Tarpany as well, because you know, that's a downgrade rather than say an upgrade of Murray to Tarpany, and then I can use that cash elsewhere. So that's it is quite the conundrum this week.
It is definitely, I'm going to stick with him, but understand people's reasons for potentially wanting to sell him. Kikau and Pangai are in the top 10 sold, but I think that'll be reversed now that they've both been named to start, and hopefully they'll be there next weekend in round 17 or so. All right, let's look at some of the buys, which, like you said, is a lot more interesting this week. Let's start with the Dragons. I want to do them all together because you've got Mann, you've got Widdop, you've got Aitken, Nene, Laffey. They're all relevant. I think most people are going to be getting probably at least 2 or 3 of them. I'm looking at Mann, Widdop, and Nene McDonald at the moment. I'm planning to bring all 3 of them in this week.
So I'm interested on the Mann trade, and are you going to be looking to bring him in the halves or into the centre wing?
Centre wing. I'm going to do Tuala to Mann.
Right. And are you concerned, though, that you're going to have a guy that's going to be sitting in on your bench for the run home that could potentially be scoring, you know, anywhere from 5 to 30?
Potentially. I think that he's... I mean, I'm not a Dragons expert by any means, but it feels to me like he's got the spot ahead of Nightingale. It feels to me like Nightingale's probably almost done. And I don't... Look, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see why they would go back to Nightingale now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the Dragons expert either. The concern that I do have is that they do, and that he then goes back onto the bench. And also there is the risk as well in round 17 that Hunt gets dropped and then he doesn't find his way into the halves there too. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, I'll be looking at a Katoa, Olive, and then a man bench in the centre wing for the run home, and I don't really know if that's the best option. But I definitely don't want to be bringing him into my halves because that's going to be a trade that I'll have to burn in 18 or 19 to trade him out. So that would be my one advice, is that whilst it is attractive to, say, downgrade a Tamari Martin, or I do have an Adam Reynolds as well, to downgrade to make a bit of cash, you are going to have to then trade him out of your halves to bring one of those other guns in. Whereas if, I think if he's in your centre wing, you can just leave him there and you don't need to burn a trade later on. So that kind of caught me out this week when I was looking at what my trades potentially could be.
Yeah. And I'll be running the same centre wing bench as you, the man, Katoa, Olive combo, yep. And hopefully only needing to use them maybe, but maybe once in the run home.
Mate, while we're talking about centre wing, can I just read you my current centre wing and just have you got a bucket?
Yeah, to spew in.
Yeah, get ready to vomit.
It's ridiculous, so, isn't it?
Fanua, Hiku, Olive, Orbison, Fusatua, Cheekam, and Katoa.
Oh, and that's before trades?
That's before trades. So, I mean, most likely three of those will go this week. But still, that is just, it's so gross, isn't it?
Yeah, it's rough. If I make my planned trades, I'll be sitting on Ferguson, Masters, Croker, and Nene, and then with that Katoa man and Olive on the bench.
Yeah, that's definitely strong. Very, very strong, Nick. So, I mean, that's Kurt Mann. I mean, he's performed quite well over the last couple of weeks. You know, better particularly than what I thought he was going to do, and as someone that brought in Olive ahead of him, then, you know, spewing that he got the try last week. But, you know, you go back the week before and he scores 36. So he's definitely not a starting 17. He's purely there for the round 17 and then bench.
Yep, agreed. Who do you like out of Aitken, Nene, and Laffey? I'm probably leaning more towards Nene. Dragons have got a pretty good run for the sort of rest of the season. You know, Rob Sutherland did that great piece in the Telegraph, and it starts with the Eels this week, and it continues on. And I'm hoping that Nene can nab some tries there, going over in the corner, about 100k cheaper than the other blokes.
Yeah, we're just looking at the run home. The three sides that stand out to me are the Dragons, the South Sydney, and then also the Roosters. So if I'm going to be looking to bring players in, it's probably going to be from those three clubs. So they look like they've got the most favourable draw, but only the Dragons are the round 17 coverage players. So, yeah, the rest are, you know, the likes of a Cody Walker could be a great asset to have, same as a Ferguson, like you pointed out.
Yeah, yep, definitely. What about Jared Croker from the Raiders?
So we didn't really touch on those guys that you wanted to talk through, so maybe we can just quickly just walk through those, the centre wings from the Dragons, maybe to start with Nene McDonald. I mean, I'm pretty keen on him too, and maybe if you can just talk through, you know, what attracts you to him, say, over a Tim Laffey and also a Ewan Aitken.
There's two things. Firstly, he's 100k cheaper, and secondly, Wilfred has him. that's basically it.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty keen on him for the first reason. I don't really care what Wilfred does, but Laffey I just couldn't pick this year. He's offloads and off there, and you know, I'd have Aitken ahead of him. I have definitely thought about Laffey as a bit of a you know, a pod option, but you're just wishing, it's just a real wish and a prayer that he delivers, because he hasn't done it for the first, you know, 15 rounds of the season. So I'm kind of happy just to maybe go with someone like McDonald, who was, you know, he's got base of 31 points per game in his past 2 weeks to go with his two tries. So that's you know, made sure that he, you know, gets those points on the board. And as we pointed out at the start, that, you know, you got that nice run home too. So he's probably number one for me for those reasons. And then I'd say Aitken and then maybe Laffey.
Yep, I agree with that ranking system. What do you think about Jared Croker? Now, I'm guessing you agree that the Raiders' run home is pretty tough.
Yeah, so I'm just going to have a look at that now. Yeah, it looks pretty difficult. Apart from, so they got Broncos away, Bulldogs away, Cowboys at home, but then they've got the Sharks, Storm, and Penrith all back-to-back, then West, and I think West will be quite difficult, and then they've got the Roosters, the Rabbitohs, and New Zealand away. So, yeah, it looks really, really difficult. And I was potentially looking at even like a BJ Leilua over Croker, or either or, just because I think Hodgson's going to make a huge difference to that side. But, yeah, that run home doesn't look fantastic.
No, it's very tough there, very, very tough. I think I'm still going to go with Croker. He's dropped in price a little bit, but he's very consistent and obviously has that goal kicking, you know, to boost him up by sort of 10 to 12 points each week. And like you say, with Hodgson in the side, I think the Raiders are going to improve a little bit. I'm hoping that they get a couple of easier games over the next few weeks to get some solid points before those more difficult games start to come. But I mean, six of their last seven: Sharks, Melbourne, Penrith, Roosters, Rabbitohs, Warriors. That's so tough.
Yeah, and that's why I'm potentially hoping that somebody like Leilua might not be as impacted, because he historically likes the base, although it's been down a bit this year at just 23 points per game. So it's a risk, but the extra number for both of those guys is going to be quite handy, particularly against a very depleted Bulldogs side in round 17.
Yeah, definitely. Some of these other centre wing options like Alex Johnson, Corey Oates, Hopewate, Vunivalu, mate, even Branko Lee could be an option there for the Titans playing round 17. They're a bit more left field, some of these guys. I personally can't go Corey Oates. You know, loved him at the start of last year, and then he really, was it last year or the year before? I can't remember exactly, but then he really went downhill. So he's too up and down for me. I do like the sound of Hopewate at fullback, but he's still Hopewate, and I don't think he's a keeper, but I mean, it's just so hard in the centre wing at the moment. He could be a low-end keeper, I suppose. Alex Johnson's got a lot of upside, doesn't play 17, but has some really good attacking stats on him. And Branko Lee, we've seen him before go quite well. If he can hold his spot in that Titans side, I think he could be the pod that could really make a difference in the centre wing. And I'd potentially be considering him ahead of all these sort of fringe guys like Johnson, Oates, Hopewate, etc.
Yeah, let's start with Oates there. And the reason why I'm attracted to Oates, mate, not in a physical sense, but from my super coach side, is he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games in the run home at Suncorp Stadium. So I think that's going to be quite nice. And he also is, if you have a look at what he's producing this year, base of 26 points per game, and really started off a bit slowly, but he's been probably the form centre over the past, or one of the form centres since about probably round 5. He's done really, really well. And I guess the only concern that I have with him is, will he play Origin? Do they continue to run with Chambers, or do they drop Chambers for Oates and then shift Gagai into the centres? So that's a concern. So if I'm looking at Oates, he's got a break-even of 76. I'm definitely not bringing him in this week. That's a trade for next week once we know what the Origin sides will look like.
Yeah, good call. I didn't realise that high break-even. I mean, we talked about the Broncos at Suncorp, you know, earlier in the year with Milford. Oates' scores at Suncorp are 54, 24, 59, 17, 64, 74. So a couple of decent scores there, but I mean, he's not smashing it out at Suncorp, but the Broncos in general aren't smashing it out at Suncorp this year.
Yeah, but importantly, the most recent form, you got to look at that at Suncorp. He's got scores of 59, 17, 64, and 74. So three of those four games above 55 points at Suncorp, I think that's more reflective of potentially what he can do.
Yeah, fair enough, maybe. I mean, the opponents at Suncorp aren't particularly tough either. But like you say, break even at 76, so we can wait till next week on him. What do you think about Branko?
Mate, Branko is not someone that I have spent any time on this year because he burnt me so much last year. And just having a look at what he's done this year. So 76, that's what he started in round 10 with a try, and, you know, didn't score over 45 for the next three games. And then in round 15, which is obviously why he's on the list at the moment, but 94 I don't think he scored a try, but he had a heap of attacking stats there. So, no, not someone that I'm interested at all. I would put pretty much every single person that we've spoken about so far ahead of him.
Controversial. Okay, I'd have Branko ahead of Oates and ahead of Hopewate.
Nah, so Hopewate is probably my first player traded in this week.
Lost the plot.
No, very, very keen on Hopper. He's just been so consistent this year.
Consistently average.
Mate, he's got base of 35 points per game, so that's going to drop a little bit when he moves to fullback, but he's going to, you'd think his output would increase via the runs and you know, he'll lose a little bit in the tackles, but I can see him, you know, solidifying himself, you know, within one of the top six centre wings and averaging 55 points per game for the rest of the year.
I will bet you four stakes that he is not a top five centre wing from here to the run home.
From here to the run home. So where's he kind of ranked at the moment?
No, sorry. Everyone starts on zero right now.
All right. So how are you possibly going to track that?
I'll just add up his points from now to the end of the year, and then I'll see that he's shit, and then I won't have to do anything else.
Mate, you're going to have to do so much work to verify this stake bet. Let's just see, where is he sitting right now in the centre wings for average? So so he's behind Fanua, behind Ramian. So he's currently the 11th ranked, and he's got an average of 54. Listen, I reckon that his average will be he'll average 55 for the run home, mate, and that's what sees him probably just scraping into the top 10 centre wings.
Yeah, and you want that in your side, do you?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have a look at who else is there. So Ryan Madison is number one. He's gone. You've got Mahe Fanua. He's gone. Do you really want Jesse Rumian? Do you really want Ewan Aitken? Brenko Lee. So you get rid of those.
Brenko, yeah.
Kyle Felt is number 10, so you get rid of him. And then I think if you take those guys out, then you're looking at a Blake Ferguson, Easton Masters, Alex Johnson, Latrell Mitchell, and then probably your next guy is Will Hopewadik.
I don't know, mate. I don't know. What about his break even this week, 71? Does that give you pause to hold a week?
Playing the Knights, mate.
Yeah. I don't know.
Playing the Knights, and I'm just going to pull that up now to see what they've done against that position. So the Knights are averaging, they've conceded the fourth most amount of points to centre wings and the first most amount, or the most amount of points to fullbacks. So I'm licking my lips, mate.
Okay, we shall see.
So I'll bring him in.
Okay, you did have a good call on Fusatura a couple of weeks ago, even though he did get injured the week after, but we shall see.
And the reason why I've got to bring him in, mate, is because of how pathetic my centre wing is. I can't be carrying those kind of guys for another week. I need to get some depth into there. So if it means I go a week earlier, Hopper, then so be it, I think.
Okay, fair enough. Some of the other guys that are popular this week, just very quickly, Sean Johnson, Tohu Harris, they're self-explanatory. Tarpane and Ryan James are probably, we can talk about them quickly.
Yep.
I had Tarpane in the preseason and was quite keen on him. Had to sell him before round one, which ended up being a good decision because he did get injured. But he's been in great form in recent weeks, and I would have no problem with anyone who wanted to trade him in this week.
Yep, yeah, he's definitely someone that I'll probably be bringing in. I've got Cameron Murray and Mark Nichols sitting in my second row that I need to get rid of, and one of those will probably go to Tarpane for sure. And if you look at what he's done pretty much since round eight, his base has been, you know, pretty good at 56, 44, 48, 46 and 42. Obviously had a massive week last week with two tries and a heap of evade stats to get him cracking the ton. But before that, his four-game average was 64, or four-game scores was 64, 89, 67 and 56. So he's played every game on the edge 80 minutes except for round one this year. So, yeah, he's looming as a pretty safe, you know, 16th or 17th man for the run home.
Yep. I like the look of him. Would you take him over Ryan James?
I brought Ryan James in last week, mate. So
good call.
Yeah, I think so, because James was pretty opportunistic. He had that big score, and you kind of knew that you know, that he would at least pump out 55 points per game from now on, and particularly around 17. But definitely wasn't expecting the 100-point game that followed up. So out of those two, I would say that probably Tarpane has the most chance of averaging more from here out.
Yeah, agreed. And dual position as well, obviously.
Yep.
A good bonus. But, yeah, I've got no problem with anyone wanting to buy either of those two guys. People are still buying Jai Arrow. He'll miss 17 due to Origin, but I'd be more than happy to have him in my final side as well. So people obviously locking him down a little bit early, which is fine.
And obviously you got Tohu Harris, who is a lock for me this week as well.
Yep, yeah, definitely. Yep, I grabbed him a couple of weeks ago. So he and Johnson are in my side. It's good to have some Warriors back in there and back relevant again. Do you think Fusatua is still an option this week?
Yeah, listen, I think as long as Sean Johnson is fit, he's an option for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, had that ankle injury, missed a week. But I think you've told me he's sort of averaging, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's about sort of 60 to 65 with Johnson in the side.
Yeah, it's quite incredible. And I think that, you know, the Warriors could be one. Finally, mate, they could actually have a strong back end to the season because you haven't had much to cheer for in the past couple of years.
No, that's very true. So, yes, he could be one as an option to a Croker or an Aitken or someone like that as well, you know, with a bit more attacking upside. Still has... Oh, no, doesn't have good base, actually. Our base is sort of less than 20 each week, but he scores a heap of tries. So he could be a bit of a pod for the run home as well.
Yep.
All right, that's most of the list of guys I've got here. VC, I'm going to go either Widdop or Nene McDonald, I think, as VC tomorrow night. And then if that doesn't pan out, I'm thinking Ponga as captain.
Huge. Absolutely huge. But there's a couple of guys we didn't talk through on the most traded in players, just a couple that I've written down here. The first one is RTS. So he's gone really well of late, and you being the Warriors man, I thought you would have potentially considered him as a pod option for the run home.
Maybe as a pod, but I mean, when you've got Trbojevic, Teddy and Ponga, everyone's got two of those three. I don't think there's room for RTS. There's no point in burning a trade on that fullback position, in my opinion.
Even if you look at somebody like a Trbojevic, who, you know, what's happening with Manly at the moment, and they've got quite a tough run home, he could miss round 18 as well. You wouldn't consider just getting rid of him and running with, say, Tuivasa-Sheck for the rest of the games?
I would consider it for Turbo, maybe. I think he should play 18. I don't know exactly when Manly play that weekend, but he doesn't. He basically chills out on the wing in Origin and just gets in there for a couple of dummy half runs. He should be fine to go.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the trades that I'm looking at the moment, either him or Teddy to make way for RTS. Something a little bit different, a little bit left field. Just give me an extra number, and as long as he stays fit, we've seen particularly what he did over the first month or so of the season. He had scores 65, 130 and 81 to open up the season. So that was huge.
Yeah, but he hasn't really done much since then. He's only had one score or two scores above 60.
Yep. Yeah, so he had, well, 59, 73 and then a 97 in his past five games.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Sharks and Penrith the next 2 weeks, throw Melbourne in there and the Dragons and Penrith again. There's a few easy games in there. You know, you got the Titans, the Knights, and the Broncos shouldn't be a particularly difficult game on a Sunday afternoon. The Warriors usually play that game pretty well. So, yeah, maybe, but I'm just going to stick with my boys, Teddy and Ponga, from round one through to the end of the year.
Fair enough. And so the Seagulls play the Storm on the Saturday in round 18. And then for those looking at maybe Tedesco, whether he'll back up, the Roosters play the Titans in the final game. So for that alone, it'd be pretty hard to trade Teddy out, I think.
Who plays that Friday night in round 18?
The Friday night game is the Panthers versus the Sharks, which is quite interesting, particularly for those looking to maybe target, say, Nathan Cleary for the run home.
Yep, exactly. Cleary and Maloney, I don't think that they'll back up in round 18.
No, agree. Although that's a really tough game, right? The Sharks are going pretty well at the moment, so maybe they try and get their best players on the field. However, that's just a two-day backup, so that's a bit dubious. So the last player is extremely confidential, and I'm ready. I don't even know the word for it, and you're probably just going to completely laugh at me on the phone, and I don't blame you at all. But this guy could be priced around the high 300s coming into round 17, and then we spoke about the run home and the number of games the Broncos play at Suncorp. But Anthony Milford for around about 370,000 soon, mate. Yes, he's had a shocking start to this first half of the year, but you know, is that price just ridiculous, or do you just need to start to think about it at that point in time?
No, it's a very good price. He is still in my side and has been for a couple of months. He hasn't been doing a lot to be honest, but he's going to sit in my side and cover me for 17, and he's going to be my backup for, where is he in my side? He's 5'8", isn't he? He's going to be my backup for Widdop if anything were to happen to him. I don't know if I could buy Milford if I didn't have him. That's the only thing. His averages the last four seasons, 65, 65, 67, 70, and then this year he's averaging 47.
Yeah, it really is a fall from grace. And on exposed form, you're 100% right. You can't be bringing him in. But, priced around about that $380,000 come round 17, potentially. Just have a look at I'm not actually sure what his break-even is. Just going to look at
it's
that.
It's 60.
Right. So he's projected to lose around about $14,000 this week. So we'll be just a bit below $400,000 for the last big buy round. And as long as he doesn't end up getting a call up into the State of Origin site, that's a pretty handy price, particularly if you consider what some of the people are looking to bring in as a buy cover player, then, you've got to probably have a look at Milford at that price too.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. Plays the Titans in 17 and then three games at Suncorp in a row and a couple at Suncorp again. I mean, that month at Suncorp just gone, we were hoping for some big scores and he went 56, 51, 38, 39. So it's not ideal, but at the price, he might be worth a flyer, I think. And at worst, he can be a backup there in your 5/8 position and you can play him if needed, if an injury happens to a Widdop or whoever you've got in that half starting spot.
Yep, no, fair enough. And then it's potentially a luxury trade out if you can do it.
Yeah, yep.
All right, so you were just talking about your captains. I still don't know, mate, but what about your trades? What are you looking at now?
I've made my trades at the moment and then I'll reverse them tomorrow and plan them out. But at the moment I've done four trades in the centre wing. So I'm going Madison, Fanua, Jennings and Tuala out. And I'm bringing in McDonald, Kurtman, Croker and Fergo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm trading Thurston out for Widdop. Nice. I might change one of those trades to a Fusatua. Maybe I'll get rid of Croker and go Fusatua instead. And then obviously if Widdop doesn't play, I'll reverse that trade. But that's what I'm looking, and that will give me 13 players for round 17 and 9 trades left.
Yep, okay. I'm not sure. I'm definitely going to bring in Tuppany and Tohu Harris. So they'll come in for Cameron Murray and Mark Nichols. So that obviously burns a bit of cash, particularly if I don't trade out after the feeder. And then definitely going to bring in Hopper. He'll probably come in for Amahe Fanua, I would say. And then I've still got Cheekam and Orbison sitting there just waiting to get culled as well. So it just depends on cash generation. I'm not sold on Kurt Mann, but I might have to bring him in just purely for a bit of cash. And I do want to leave a centre wing spot open for Eason Masters because I think he is probably the must-have centre this year.
You're finally going to get on him, hey?
Yeah, I'm even thinking about bringing him in this week, mate, controversially. So.
Well, yeah, I had an extra trade last week that I didn't know what to do with, and I ended up using it at the 11th hour and selling Fitzgibbon and bringing in Tapau. So that turned out okay last week. Tapau didn't score too well, but Fitzgibbon got suspended for 2 weeks. So let's hope that Tapau plays this week.
So one of the questions people might have, Nick, is just say if you do own an Olive, like many people do, like myself, and he's sitting there on your bench at 220,000, obviously still got some cash to earn there, but might not get another game. Do you trade sideways, trade him to a Kurt Mann, or do you just suck it up and he just becomes a non-playing reserve for the rest of the year in the hope that he plays round 17?
I would just suck it up. I'll try and trade someone else this week to Mann and just have that glimmer of hope that Olive might play next week. But if you've made the trade last week to bring Olive in, I think you've just got to suck it up and hold for at least a week and see what happens.
Yep, okay. I don't think that's a silly move, and I'll probably be just looking at it. It's pretty handy to have those one or two non-playing reserve players for potential loophole on the run home.
Yeah, exactly. Don't forget Perfect Eight, $300,000. I have not entered a Perfect Eight all year, but I might start this week.
Yeah, okay. Oh, and I forgot my other trade completely. Reynolds is gone, mate. What a disaster that has been.
Oh, well, I haven't even been keeping track of him. I just presume he's rubbish.
Mate, he's been doing so much, but just hasn't been getting the points. So he'll make way for Widdop this week if Widdop plays.
Yeah. I'm very happy to get Thurston out of my side this week, finally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, mate. Well, this will be our last podcast with you in the country. Maybe we might get Joe Fitz on next week while you get settled, and we'll bring you back in a couple of weeks' time. We'll sort it out anyway.
Mate, I'm going to try my hardest to be on this podcast next week from Hanoi. Don't you worry about that.
Okay. All right, mate. Sounds good. Good luck this weekend. Travel safe. We'll talk to you sometime soon.
Cheers. Right, good to speak to you, mate.
Bye.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.